Name of my sermon is Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, have you ever had a revelation? Or what I want to do now is just take that word revelation and split it, reveal and lation. And then if you don't mind, I want to chop it up and form it again into reveal and elation. Have you ever had a reveal elation in your lives? I know you have. And our letter to the Hebrews is hoping that the church members that read this letter hear it and have a reveal elation about Jesus in their lives. When these reveal elations happen, they lift my spirits. I want to give you very personal stories. I have a reveal elation about Sarah sometimes. We'll be talking and the light will hit her hair in a certain way, or she'll turn in a specific direction or move or say something. And all of a sudden, I see all of the joys and blessings we've had in our lives, and they just rush over me. And I love that feeling. It lifts me up. It's revealed to me what we've done, and then I am elated for that. With my son Josh, I often have a reveal elation when my son shows me a project that he has made, or designed, or engineered. My son Josh has the most astonishing technical abilities. He thinks in ways that I can never imagine. And yet he creates these beautiful structures and intricate machines, and I just look at them and I am in awe. And as he talks about them and I see his pride in them, I have a revealed elation about Josh. My daughter Emily is a wonderful, wonderful person, tiny bit persnickety, but a wonderful, wonderful person. And sometimes when we are talking, her huge, wonderful, loving heart just shines through when she's talking to myself or Sarah, or I see her interacting with her husband Mike or her daughter Imogen. And I just think this great reveal, elation that, wow, maybe the parenting we did worked, you know? And my granddaughter, oh my gosh. I mean, I could go on and on. But I'm not except to say that she reminds me of things I forget every time I see her. I have a reveal elation of what true joy is, and what excitement is, and what energy is. And I can't help but smile. As I said in the opening phrase, I am burst forth with inspiration and smiles, because I really see and hear her. And then my daughter's husband, Mike. Wow, what an awesome father and husband. And when I see Mike interacting with Emmy and Imogen, I have a reveal elation of how a husband can be, and how a father can raise children. And my son Josh's long-term significant other, Bridget, she has a smile and an energy that just lights up a room, puts you at ease, and just makes you feel connected. I love having reveal elations, revelations. And the church that this letter was written to desperately needed a reveal elation because they had gone way off the track. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Help me to stay on focus, on track, as I bring this wonderful word of Scripture to this beloved worshiping community here and online. And let your words and my conveying of your words lift up your people, fill them with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is called the letter to the Hebrews. Give you a clue, it's not really a letter. It's actually a sermon. We know it's not a letter because every other letter in the New Testament says, grace and peace to you in the name of God our Father, our Lord Jesus, and it's addressed to a specific person. This is not. It's a sermon, but more than a sermon, it is a love letter. It is a love letter about the character and the mission and the person of Jesus. Of the Origen, who was an early theologian, was once asked, who wrote that? And Origen raised up his hands and says, God knows, because nobody knows who wrote this letter. It was written in such a way and so uniquely that none of the people who were the usual suspects, no one can figure out who did it. And the first four verses, if you look in your bulletins, you'll see verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's, again, a misnomer. Not only is this not a letter, it's a sermon, and not only are there four verses, because in the original Greek, those four verses were one long, beautiful, involved love letter sentence to Jesus. The church, probably in Jerusalem, we're not sure, but probably in Jerusalem, was a church mostly of Hebrew converts. And when they first followed Jesus, they were filled with enthusiasm. They met weekly. They had communion. They did good works. People were gathering and coming, and the church was growing. But then problems started happening. You see, the greater Jewish community started giving them grief for being a Christian church. And the Roman Empire that was ruling them started giving them grief for being a Christian church. And then within the church, people started dividing. You had one group that said, these were the Jewish people that converted. If you Gentiles, non-Jews, want to become Christians, you have to become Jewish first. Then you have to renounce Judaism and become Christian, else it doesn't count. But then the Gentiles who became followers of Jesus looked at those people and said, wait a minute! You can't be Jewish and be Christian. You have to get rid of all your Jewish traditions. All those Jewish foods, all those Jewish prayers, all those Jewish things that you've been doing all your lives, get rid of them in order for you to be a true follower of Jesus. You see the difficulties here. They had two factions, and neither faction was listening to each other. They were just talking at each other. And so this church that started out being full of life and energy became angry. People became frustrated. People left. People forgot to come to church. I was busy. I forgot. I'll come next Sunday, Saturday, whatever. The church was falling apart. And it was this church in distress that the letter to the Hebrews was directed towards. But if you think about this, what happened to this church is they forgot. The focus of the church was not who was the better Christian, but was Jesus. The focus of the church was not what are the Romans saying about us, what are the Jews saying about us, but what about Jesus? They had forgotten the true central point of worship, which was worshiping Jesus. And this happens to a lot of congregations today. This is still going on. Congregations in the United Methodist Church are splitting up over human sexuality stuff. Now, I know you haven't heard about it because nothing's happening about it, because all the meetings got postponed again and again and again because of COVID, but that's in the back burner. And now in our community, we have people at the hospital center that do not want to be vaccinated, and they now want suspension. I mean, healthcare professionals engaged in the process of providing health to others refused to take these measures that could help them. And now our hospital, according to the Star Dam, has laid off over 250 staff members. Every church in this country is existing in a swirl of controversy. Don't even get me started about politics. And how do we find our way back? How did the church in Jerusalem find its way back? How do we stop and take a breath and remember that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters? And if you think about the way we act sometime, That's astonishing. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So what does the writer of this letter do? What does the writer of this sermon do? What is his focus to get the church back on track? Did he come in with a big stick? No. Did he guilt trip them? No. He simply wanted to enable them to have a revelation about the person and character and mission of Jesus. Everything in our lives comes back to focusing on the gifts and the blessings of Jesus. So I want to read to you those first four verses one more time, but I want to read them slowly. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times in various ways, but in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, King, Lord of heaven, and through whom he also made the universe. Now think about this. Jesus is Lord of heaven, and Jesus was also there at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we go on to verse 3 in the scripture. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and by the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I saw an ad on the YouTube for a laser 3D printer. It looked good. Man, these three-dimensional printers can print anything you want almost. But Jesus is the exact 3D representation, printer-wise, of God and God's glory and God's person. And after he provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven and became so much more superior to the angels as the name he has inherited, Lord of the Kingdom of God, is superior to theirs. These words, these four verses, this one sentence in Greek, they are the living, breathing expression of the faith of that community, with Jesus in the center of that community. And what Hebrews is telling us is that as long as we have Jesus in the center of our church community, our personal faith, our family faith, then we have always a way to go forward. Jesus came into this life to guide us through the hard times, and he is our guide forever and ever. So no, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, have you ever had a revelation that lifted you? A revelation that lifted you? I had one 6 years ago. I've never said this story before, but I was 6 years ago, I was just starting out in taking classes and lay servant classes and talking to my minister about pursuing ministry. I was in a lay servant class with the pastor that was at Bellevue at the time, Pastor Pinder. And 6 years ago, I drove to Bellevue. I wanted to get her advice about becoming a Methodist pastor. And I drove by this church, and I never knew this existed. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is the greatest church. That is beautiful. And then when I got home, I looked it up online. I saw it was great. Little did I know that God had a plan. But I had a revelation that this was a beautiful church. Movie night, I had a revelation. The kids running around were nuts. And things. And no, yeah, the sound was a little low, but I don't think the kids minded. They had a great time. It was such a joy to see the parents and the kids, and literally on blankets with pillows. People came because they were having a good time. And that was such a reveal elation. It lifted my spirits about the future of this church. And I was reminded as I walked in the door that night of our game room. Now, our game room wasn't open that night. But how many Sundays have I stood here in the sanctuary after service and heard down the hall the joy and energy of our game room? What a blessing. And that was a reveal elation to me. So I ask you to go home, or now, or whenever is comfortable, and think about, let yourselves be open to God's reveal elations in your lives. Whether it's with family, or friends, or job, or yard, or scenery, or sunset, open yourselves to hear God speaking to you. And then maybe we need to remind ourselves of these first four verses in Hebrews, that Jesus is the source and the goal of our lives, that Jesus is providing us everything we need. This is maybe not for publication, but I'm going to go ahead. The Joy in the Morning people know that I am working on my District Commissioner on Ministry papers these days. Every licensed local pastor, and 80% of the pastors in our district are licensed local pastors. We have to go before board once a year. Basically, it's kind of getting recertified. And one thing we need to do is write 5 essays. And I've written my 5 essays. I've turned them into my mentor, and my mentor critiques them and catches all the problems before I go before the board. 2 of my essays, he asked me to rewrite twice. A 3rd essay, he asked me to rewrite 3 times. And the 4th and 5th essay, I have rewritten 4 times. And I'm hoping he approves. Why was I struggling so much? Because I forgot what Hebrews is telling us. I was answering those questions from my perspective, but I was not answering them from the perspective of Jesus being at the center of our lives. Yeah, I kind of missed that. Are you ready to put Jesus at the center of the life of this church and your lives and the lives of those you love by just modeling how wonderful you are? I found this astonishing quote from Professor Brian Whitfield, that we share not only in Christ's humanity, but also in his glory, is too amazing for me to grasp. Our human destiny is to share in the radiance of our Savior, who has gone before us into the very presence of God. This is the Savior who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And so, as we, as a congregation, and every congregation in this country and world, struggle with all the issues in our lives that are swirling around us, let us remember to always, in our personal prayer lives, in our family lives, in our congregational lives, put Jesus at the center. And when we do that, we are gazing in the face of God over and over. And so I give thanks to being able to share this message with you. I give thanks for the blessing of this life that I have. And I pray that we all have revelations or reveal elations every day in our lives. And I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.